Oh, Nahama. I think we need to free up. Oh, never mind.
Working?
Yeah, sorry. Okay, so I titled this like series that we're entering into now, Boricius, like our origin story. I think that what happens, I know for like personally, this was my experience in like the Jewish school system. You learn Boricius a lot as a kid. So like it's extremely engaging parshias, right? So that's where the teachers have like their best projects. You make the We had various forms of very creative tevas and animals last week, right? And like, you know, so as a kid, you learn a lot about Sefer Bereishis. And even when you're first starting to learn Chumash, we start in Sefer Bereishis usually around Lech Lecha. That's often the parsha that you start learning Chumash, right? So you learn Chumash and you learn the parsha of Bereishis and the parshas that come after it. And sometimes because that's the time in our lives that we learn it like in school in like an educational way, I think that sometimes we stay in that very childish understanding of Bereishis. Like it remains sort of like, because like I said, like all the stories and it's exciting, but it remains maybe a little bit immature. So my goal in this series was to maybe like elevate our understanding of Sefer Bereishis a little bit more, partially because I think it's so important because it's as Ma'aseh Avos Siman Labanim, that the story of our forefathers is a sign for the children, which basically means that like, it's not even just that history repeats itself. You know, this was a thought I was thinking about recently. It's become like a trendy topic to talk about like generational trauma, right? And so how right now, if you look at like the from Jewish community, the Ashkenazic Jewish community, how we are so impacted by the Holocaust, even though we didn't go through it ourselves, but you know, we inherit trauma either as a result of like the way that we're treated, but even just like trauma passes down through our DNA, right? Like that's like, I don't know if anyone's heard this conversation, right? But like how these things pass down through. At the same time, what else passes down through our DNA is the resilience that everyone went through to get through the Holocaust and all these other terrible things that we've gone through, right? So like, not only do we sometimes maybe focus on the negative and not necessarily focus on the positive DNA that's also been, so like, yeah, we got through all these really tough things, right? And so we can, I think the world has come to a place where we understand that there's almost like a topic, there's almost like a reality of a non-physical DNA, also like psychological DNA, an emotional DNA. And what we learned from the concept of Ma'aseh Avos Siman Labanim is that there's something called like a spiritual DNA. So we have programmed within us that is passed down through generations and generations, like our soul DNA, our soul structure passed down from our fathers till to us. And so we have this spiritual DNA. And where can we learn a little bit more about our own, see our spiritual character is within us in a state of potential, right? So within us in a state of potential, I have all these character traits within me, and part of sort of experiencing and exposing the potential, actualizing the potential, recognizing what the potential is in a real way is through first understanding what is it that's inside of me, right? I can only use what's inside of me when I know what's inside of me. So if I'm able to, let's say, uncover within myself, oh, I am, you know, people spend their whole lives like not using all of their capabilities because they don't recognize that they have the capability, right? So someone thinks that they're not necessarily, let's say you think, oh, I'm not a creative person or I'm not a smart person. So if I don't recognize the ability, then I don't actualize it. I don't tap into it. I don't try to use it, right? So similarly, I guess on a spiritual level, the importance of studying these things is to acquaint myself with my own spiritual DNA so that I could recognize my spiritual powers, right? And recognize my spiritual capabilities and recognize my spiritual potential. And through that recognition, I'm then able to actualize it and draw it out and express it, right? So that is why I was thinking, like, when I was trying to figure out what we should learn, like, that was where this title of our origin story came into my head, because I was thinking how important it is to know your origin, right? Know where the start of it all was, recognizing and understanding what those powers that our forefathers instilled within us that passed down through our DNA, and seeing how these things are really cyclical, how we keep on living through these things, how we have the same, we are on like a continuation of the same mission that they started. So we have to sort of understand on a deeper level, what does it mean that these things happened? Make sense? Yeah, okay. So this week's Parsha, yes. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Lech Lecha. So we're going to start with Lech Lecha. Bereishis and Enoch are also, I have cool stuff, but we're going to start where we're at, because I feel like makes it feel relevant. So this week's Parsha, Parsha's Lech Lecha. So we're introduced to Avram and his wife, Sarah, and basically we're introduced to him at an older age in his life, right? When he's already he's settled down, he has a wife, he's lived a number of years in his life, and we're not actually, in the Torah doesn't discuss how he discovers God, that's Medrash, right? But Avram, we're introduced to him as having a relationship with Hashem, having Nevuah, he's chatting with Hashem, right? And one day Hashem says to him, Lech Lecha, go for yourself, and uproot your whole family and move to another place. And I think, so if we're thinking in, you know, like 21st century, moving to another place, actually, I think moving is considered to be one of like the top stressful things that you can do, right? Like it's extremely, extremely stressful to move. Even just moving houses is stressful, right? Packing up all your stuff, deciding what to bring, unpacking all the stuff. Like it's just very unsettling, right? And so it could be like a massive source of stress, and moving to a faraway place is even more stressful, right? But imagine back when this place was still called Mesopotamia, right? So you literally had no idea what was going on in that place, right? It wasn't like communication passing on a regular basis. The world was in a very like much less advanced stage, besides for technology, just like, you know, we're talking about like the origins of everything as we know it today, the origins of humanity. That's actually where historians, when they're studying history, like where they start, where they have records of humanity is in Mesopotamia, in that area during this time around, right? So this is like the beginnings of writing things down, all that kind of stuff, right? So we're talking about a world where picking up and moving to someplace different, it means you're never ever going to see your family again, right? You're never going to see anyone you knew again. You have no idea. The culture is totally different. You literally are throwing yourself into an entirely new reality. And he was an old man. Like he wasn't a young child. He was an older man. And Hashem tells him to get up and move. And so this is really where we see the beginnings of Avram's Mesiras Nefesh, which is something that he then goes on to exemplify. But like he listens to God and he goes blindly into the dark and moves, right? Also Hashem doesn't say where you're going to. He's saying to the land that I will show you. So just go. I'm going to tell you when to stop, right? Just go pick up your stuff. I mean, they probably had less stuff than we have, so it's not as stressful, but pick up your stuff, put it on your camel and go. And you'll end up somewhere, right? And so sort of the story of the Jewish people begins with this journey. That's the first story of the Jewish people, because Avram is the first of our individual forefathers. And that's the beginning of the Jewish people. And we see journeys continuously throughout Jewish history. But we start off with the journey, right? So what exactly What we're going to talk about a little bit today is, what is this journey? What is this journey that Avram did? And then bringing it down, this is really the journey of every single Jew, more specifically of every single Jewish soul. And how does that have practical relevance to us? Okay. So what is this journey of Avram? So something else that happens in this parsha is that Avram's name is changed, right? So his name originally is, and it's changed while he, in honor of his journey, right? Hashem tells him to move, and I'm going to change your name. You're going to go from being Avram, Aleph Beis, Resh Mem, that was his name, to Avraham, which we just add the hey in the middle. So before he went on this journey, Avram was called Avram. Avram literally translates to, if you split it up into those two words, Av and Ram, it means, Ram means high, and Av is father, right? So Avram is high father. So in Kabbalah, we're going to get a little Kabbalistic for a minute, but bear with me. Hopefully we'll all understand. So Avram, high man. So high father. So father in Kabbalah represents the element of Chachma. What is Chachma? Chachma is the first moment of an idea, what we might call the idea in its potential state before it's been expanded. So we all know, like, sometimes you're like trying to figure something out, or if you're creative, you're trying to start a creative project, or if something's like difficult for you to understand, or you're like dealing with a difficult situation, right? Like you're working through something that's complicated. It could be even just like in interpersonal relationships, like you're trying to figure out what am I going to do in this situation? And at a point within like the struggle of trying to figure it out, the way that we have ideas is that all of a sudden we have like a moment, an aha moment, right? Where it's like, oh, I think I know what I have to do. Or, oh, I know what I'm going to do for this creative project. Like I have an image of what it's going to be. Or I understand this idea. Like I get it now. I can't explain it yet to you. It's not something I can like flesh out. I can't expand on the idea to you. It's like still very much in its potential state, right? I recognize that it's there. That's what we call it, like an aha moment, right? Because I recognize that it's there, but I couldn't then verbalize it yet, right? In our like in our thinking process, and the way that our brains work is like you have, you could call it right brain, left brain, but like you have the moment of the creativity, the moment of the spark of the idea, and then what do you have to do? You have to then work through the idea, right? So I'm like, oh, I know the solution. Now I have to like work through it, figure out the details of it, figure out how I could express it to somebody else. Or like I said, in an artistic endeavor, like I have a vision of what I'm going to do. And then you have to work through it and actualize it and make it what it is, right? Now, what's interesting, if you think about, is that between like the spark of the idea and then how it actually comes out, when it's still in a state of like spark, the end result could look a few different ways because it's still in a potential state, right? So when something is in a potential state, the easiest way, I think the easiest example I've found to understand this is when we think about like our time. So every morning I wake up and I have time, right? I have however many hours in my day that I'm going to be awake. And in this amount of time, this is potential time to do stuff. And I'm going to make choices on how I'm going to spend this time. And so I could have like a really productive day. Oh yes, or this is the productivity, right? But so I'm going to choose to have a productive day. So I can make, what does a productive day look like? Every person, a productive day looks different, right? So for some people, a productive day would be, first of all, just think about this. Every person has a different job, right? So the different people doing different jobs, their days, like you just said. Okay, if my job is spending time with my children, then a productive day is when my children feel safe and happy and nurtured and they're well fed and right, all these things, that's a productive day. If your job is, you know, like high power of finance, whatever, your productive day is going to look very different. But, and then it's like, okay, so I'm going to exercise. So maybe one person decided to take a hike and one person decided to bike riding, soul cycle, I don't know, and you know, like anything else, do Pilates, right? So you make the choices. So we have the potential time. Right? And we have the potential productivity. And now I make a choice of how I'm going to actualize that productivity. And in a sense, when I'm making that choice, I'm cutting off all the other options that I could have had, right? It's like, I ran, so I didn't do Pilates, right? So in the actualizing of it, I cut off one option of what I could have done, right? But at the end of the day, we need to make those choices, right? So when the idea is still in potential, there's lots of different ways that it could then come out and be expressed. But once I actualize it, then it takes on its one limited form. Is that make sense at all? Yeah, okay. So Avram is, Av, like we said before, is Chachma. The reason it's Chachma is because in general, Kabbalah likes to use this analogy where the father, we have the father and the mother and the creation of a child, right? The father, what is the father? The father's role in the actual active creation of the child is he supplies what we might call the potential. He supplies the potential, and the woman then nurtures the potential, and in the woman, the baby grows and takes on its specific shape and its specific qualities, right? And its specific look. So the father is, you know, providing the raw material, and the mother is forming it into its specific thing, right? So that's sort of like this idea of father being Chachma, Chachma again being the raw material, the potential, versus Bina, which is the next step in the process, which is the fleshing out and expanding and getting into all the details, right? So Avram means potential, the highest potential, right? So Avram, before he comes down into Mitzrayim, not Mitzrayim, wrong place. That's also another journey he takes, but that's later. Before he comes down into Canaan, right? Before Hashem tells him to go. So what is he? He is Avram. He is this, he's on this level of super high, lofty, potential, way up there energy, right? He's on a super lofty, lofty level. And he must have been, because he was someone who found God. And like we said before, he's communicating with God. And he's going to such a high and awesome, lofty place, right? That's what Avram was. And then Hashem tells him to go. And he's going to Canaan, which on a certain level is what we might say a descent. He's about to go down into Canaan, okay? So what do we mean over here about going down into Canaan? Is that Hashem says, I don't want the world to stay a world of potential. I don't want the world to stay a world of, you know, high spiritual loftiness. I want the world to be a world of actualized potential, right? I want the world to be a place where it's not just about, you know, spirituality, but that it comes out in a real and like limited and in a way that people can experience it, not just super high and spiritual. Our journey and the journey of Avram is to go from this super high place, but then Hashem adds a hey into his name, right? Now it's not Avram anymore, it's Avraham. So he adds an extra hey. And where does this hey come from? So we have in Hashem's name, we have in Hashem's highest name, right? Which is Yud and a hey and above and a hey, right? That's the name of Hashem. We can't say it, but we, those are the four letters of Hashem's name. So the letter He, let's back up for 1 second. Sorry. So the letter He, where does the He in Hashem, in Avram's name, came from Hashem's name. This action of high up spiritual potential coming out into actuality is something that Hashem does as well. Okay, Hashem, before he creates the world, what is there? Just him, right? And then what does he do? He also comes down, creates a world, invests himself in our little world. Right? That's what Hashem does. He's lofty and above and transcends, and then he comes down into our world. The tool that Hashem uses to come down into our world is his name. In general, what's the purpose of a name? When do you need a name? You only need a name for someone else, right? When you're all alone, you don't need a name. You only need a name when someone else is calling you, right? So a name is something that is there for the other. So Hashem's names are what he uses to create something else, right? That's the role of Hashem's name. So in the name of Yod and Hey and Vav and Hey, we see a representation of how we create things, right? So again, we have the Yod, which, like we said before, what's like the highest point in everything is its potential, right? So we have a Yod. A Yod is just a little dot. Right? And in this little dot, we have basically the reason that the dot is like the flash that we spoke about before, right? You have the first flash of the idea, that's the dot. So the yod is the first flash of the idea, the one little dot. But is it, what do we see about a yod is that it's very small, right? What we said before is that in the first flash of the idea, are you able to communicate it to someone else? Are you able to share it to anyone else? Not yet. It's still too abstract. So what do we have to do to the yod? We have to stretch it out, flesh it out, right? So the yod then turns into, if you keep stretching it into numerous directions, the yod turns into the hay, right? Why is there a little hole over there? Not going to get into that discussion right now. But the yod turns into the hay. And the hay is when we take that initial idea and we then express it and we make it expressible to somebody else. And again, what's the point of an idea if you can't share it, right? What's the point of, and that in a sense, what, like God is saying, what's the point of being God? Ein melech b'lei am, right? There's no God without a nation. So Hashem chooses to express himself and to share himself and to sort of make himself understandable, right? And he takes his light that really is so much higher, really it's just like this one little flash, and he like spreads it out and creates a world with it, right? So when Hashem gives Avram this extra hay, what he's imbuing in Avram is this power to go from this higher state of, you know, maybe back then Avram was just, you know, living his own life and working on his own spiritual self. And then Hashem says, no, you're not just supposed to live like your own solitary little spiritual existence. Go to this new place. And once he went to this new place, what did he start doing? It says Avram started gathering converts, right? And he started influencing people and teaching people about God and spreading the ideas of monotheism. Because with that, hey, now I'm empowered, right? When I stop and realize, oh, it's not just about like that chachma experience. It's not just about that spiritual spark experience. I need to actualize the potential. The potential is not enough. I need to share the potential. I need to expand on the potential. Then I'm able to go out and have an impact on the world, right? When I'm stuck in my own like higher spiritual pursuits, which may, you know, if you spent all day, I don't think it's something that most of us relate to in the modern world, right? But if you spent all day like in meditation and solitary thought and like going deeper and deeper into your own mind, you would probably become a very spiritual person, right? And imagine if like that entire focus was all like holy, not just like regular meditation, but like meditating on God. Like you spent all day sitting in a room and thinking about God. Again, it's not an experience I think that a lot of us relate to, but, or a desire that a lot of us have, either unfortunately or fortunately, but like it's not the reality of what we're necessarily seeking out. But if I would spend all my time seeking out that chachma sort of state, that solitary state, the high lofty state, then what happens to the world around me? The world around me just remains untouched by me, right? It remains completely unaffected. So I could be as spiritual as possible, and the world around me remains exactly as it is. When I choose to interact with the world, what's automatically happening to my spiritual level? I'm going down, right? I'm going on a journey. I'm moving away from this state of being like totally sheltered. I'm not just spending all the time with myself and with my holy endeavors. Automatically, when I'm talking to people, it means I need to enter into their world. And I need to interact with them, and I need to like pursue their interests, or else they won't be interested in talking to me, right? Like it says, Avram would feed people, right? Like, so now all of a sudden he's running a restaurant. That's not a very spiritual endeavor. But that's, if I just stay in myself, then the potential just remains in potential. If I want potential to be actualized, it's necessary to go down. Yeah, the tzimtzum, exactly. The tzimtzum is necessary to take, you have to take the, you need to make the power less in order for it to be actualized. Like we said before, automatically, if I'm choosing to bake the cake, choosing to write a book, whatever, I don't know, I'm not giving good examples here, but like I'm choosing to do one thing, that means I'm cutting myself off. I'm limiting my energy because I'm choosing one thing. But we all know how important it is to actually choose that one thing, or else what do? You do nothing. Right? Like you don't actually accomplish anything if you don't like make those choices. If you don't limit the potential, you don't actualize it. So like it's sort of like there's this rule. By actualizing potential, I'm limiting it. But what's the point of the potential if it's not actualized? So even though it seems like a limitation, is it actually a limitation? It's not truly a limitation, because that's what's necessary for this thing to become something that is effective. Right? And it's actually, this is like an interesting side note. What did Avram have to do when he went to Eretz Canaan? That is when he also had his bris, right? That was when he had his bris, was when he went to Canaan. So it's an interesting question that's asked in a number of different sources, is Avram, it says that Avram kept the whole Torah. Right? He kept all the Torah mitzvahs. So how come he didn't have a bris until he was 99? If he was already keeping the Torah and he kept all the mitzvahs, he could have had the bris before then, right? So why did he have to wait for Hashem's specific commandment to have the bris right now, if he was already keeping all the Torah? And the answer is that until now, Avram was living, like we said before, a spiritual existence. And he was completely removed from anything else, right? What is the purpose of the bris? And again, females are born already in this state, so we don't require this action, but it's still like on a spiritual level, I think we could understand it a little bit, is that we're all born with positive stuff and negative stuff. And again, we also have all this potential energy, right? Until the potential energy is brought down and is being actualized, I don't have to worry so much about how it's being used, right? Like until you have, let's say, a kid with a lot of energy, right? So you see them like destroying things and running around and turning things upside down. And maybe like something, a positive spin you can put on it. Oh, they have all this energy. If I just figured out how to channel that energy into a positive space, then this person could be like, you know, they could accomplish so much and they could do so many things, right? But when you have energy, it can either go in a positive direction or in a negative direction, right? And actually the way Hashem created the world is that all forces of negativity, they steal their energy from positive places. It's like they literally, like the idea of like lice or fleas, right? That like suck blood from another place. Like they steal their life from other places. Hashem created that like forces of negativity and evil, what we call like the Sitra Achra, the bad side. They get their life from the good. They steal their energy from the good. If you're leaving the good in a state of potential, you don't have to worry about the bad taking from it, because it's only in its state of potential, and in its potential, it can't be used for bad. It's only when I bring it down into this world that I have to worry about bad forces getting impacted by it. I think this is something we could relate to. You know, when the Rebbe sent people out on Shluchas, one of the questions people asked was, oh, aren't you scared that you'll be negatively affected? If you're interacting with people who are on a different spiritual level than you, aren't you scared that you're going to be negatively affected? Right? And I think that's a question we ask ourselves all the time. Oh, if I interact with someone who's on a lower spiritual level than me and I become, you know, their friend, not that I'm even looking to necessarily be a positive influence, but just like if I interact with people who are on a lower spiritual level, then I'm scared I might be negatively impacted. And so that was maybe a fear that Avram has. I'm entering into the world. I'm starting to interact with people. I'm leaving my spiritual bubble and I'm going out to, you know, talk to people. And that's what the action of the bris is. It represents, it says like that the bris on a spiritual level means removing like certain negativity that is within the person. Like I said before, a woman is born without that extra negativity. Only men have to do this, but they have to remove a certain negative element, because before he's going out into the world and interacting with the world, he needs to make sure that he himself is fully pure so that he can't be impacted by what he's going to interact with. But the whole reason, again, that answers the question of why he doesn't need a bris until now. He doesn't need a bris until now because I'm living like a hermit. I'm living like an isolated existence. I'm in the state of chachma. Once I'm going down into the world and I'm interacting with the world, that's when I need the power of the hay, and I need also the protection of the bris to make sure that all the energy is going to a positive place. And just to make, again, this was kind of Kabbalistic, but we're trying to make it practical. Like I said, it's the origins of our souls. So on some level, first of all, on a level where we're not necessarily conscious of, but on a subconscious level, this is a process that happens to every single person. We know the song, you know, come with me, little neshamala, right? Where the soul doesn't want to come down into this world. Why doesn't the soul want to come down into the world? Because up in heaven, it's in a very sheltered place, and it's in a much higher level, right? But what is a soul up in heaven? A soul up in heaven is only potential, right? It's not actually accomplishing anything. It's not actualizing itself. It's very lofty and high, and it maybe is learning Torah all day or whatever souls do up in heaven, right? Basking in godliness, right? But it's not actually achieving something. And so there's this like struggle for the soul to come down to the earth. But like Avram Avinu, that's sort of like he begins the journey that every single Jewish person then goes on. Like Avram Avinu, we need to come down into this world, into our bodies, which make us much more physical, which make us much more involved in the world, right? And so you might say it's a descent, right? You might say that it's a lowering for the neshama. But we say, what's the point of potential if it's never going to be actualized? Then it's just potential. And the point is for the potential to be actualized. So even though we're limiting the soul, and even though we're on a certain level holding it back, and it's not able to shine as bright as it does in heaven, on earth, it's able to actually have an impact, and it's able to actually be actualized. First of all, it impacts your neshama, is impacting you yourself. It becomes you. And then also everything else and anyone else that you interact with. And where do we have this power to interact with the world in this way? Is like we said before, we're like programmed with the spiritual DNA being from our forefathers, from Avram. We see that he had this ability to go out into the world and have a positive impact on the world. we receive that power from Avram. And from, you can say, like, by when Hashem added the hey to Avram's name, we all were, in our DNA, we're programmed with this ability to come down into the world and actualize our potential. And that's really the point. The point is to be in a physical space and to transform that physical space. So what is the actualization? What is Lech Lecha? The Lech Lecha in this parsha is a message really to every single person. The message is that wherever you are and wherever you find yourself, because like you said, in the parsha, Hashem doesn't even give Avram a direct destination of where he needs to go. So we can say this applies to us, like wherever, it's a Lech Lecha to every person, wherever you find yourself, wherever you end up, that means there's something here, there is potential here that you have the ability to tap into and actualize. Wherever you end up, that means there's something there that your soul has a specific interaction that needs to happen over here. There's stuff that we, wherever we are in our own specific ways, whatever jobs you do, whatever people you meet, whatever situation that you find yourself in, you have, there's something within your soul that can trigger the end result that God wants from you over here, which is like a, it's a pretty powerful thing to think that I have, I'm like a partner with Hashem in the creation of this world. And he wants me to fix this world up a little bit. And I'm imbued with the power to make certain changes, whether I real, first of all, sometimes we don't even realize we're making the changes that we're making and having the impact that we're having. And then sometimes it's important for us to step back and be like, okay, where in my life do I see that I'm also focusing on my mission of what Hashem wants me to do, right? Like, take a few minutes to see, like, where is my specific Lech Lecha? Where is my specific journey? Am I actually connecting to my mission at all? Or am I just, you know, sort of living by, you know, just where I ended up and following the trajectory of my life, right? Am I taking, I think that's, I'm just thinking this right now in my head. But like, I think that's the point of like, the message is that you need to be on a conscious journey. Lech Lecha, right? Go. Because it's very easy to just like fall into the regular just like routine of life and not be consciously choosing where you're going. Just go mindlessly, just like follow, go with the flow of what of where you end up. And I think that's part also of the message of Lech Lecha is be conscious in where you're going. Recognize I'm on a journey and I'm making the choices for my journey. I'm choosing to go right or left. And the reason I'm choosing to go right or left is because there's something specific for me to do either on the right or on the left, wherever it is that I end up, right? Yeah, it's purpose. That's what it is. But again, just like being like taking a few minutes, the part of our message is taking a few minutes to think about the fact that I have a purpose every once in a while. Not all the time, because then it gets like a little paralyzing, but like once in a while to think about the fact that there's a purpose for my soul on earth. I've been hand chosen by God to come on this earth. I've been empowered through my spiritual DNA to actually accomplish what Hashem wants me to accomplish. And yeah, that was our message from this week's parsha. We should all have a lot of clarity and presence of mind to accomplish that.